It's a Saturday Bible Time class. We're continuing discussion of Vinaya Gita from the 10th canto, chapter 21. I think we're on verse number 10, is that correct?
Yes.
Verse number 10. This is Vasant Tilak Chandas, which is the meter of Brahma Samhita. All right, you ready? I'll chant the line and you can repeat. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim.
Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim.
Yad Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nityam.
Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nityam.
Prekshadri San Vartana Tanya Samasta Sattvam.
Prekshadri San Vartana Tanya Samasta
Sattvam. So let's see what words, how we can translate the first line. Kirti means what?
Fame,
glories, fame. Kirtida is the mother of Radharani, one who gives fame or has become famous by having Radharani as her daughter. And Sakhi, we know, means female friend. Vrindavan means the forest of Vrindavan. Bhumi, what does that mean? Bhumi.
Yep.
Earth. Ma Bhumi. So Bhuvi and Bhuvi, LSBHU stuff, like Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha Goswami, Garbha means womb. In this case, it means womb of the earth, means cave. Earth womb. Bhugarbha. But he, earth cave, because he did bhajan underground in a cave. Bhugarbha Goswami. He lived 500 years ago in Vrindavan. Vidyanoti, we probably don't know that word, but it means to spread. So if we just look at what we know, it says, oh, Sakhi, someone's talking to some girlfriend, because these are all Sakhis speaking about Krishna's flute. So one Sakhi says to another Sakhi, oh, Sakhi, Vrindavan, earth, Kirti. So there's an earth planet, and there's somewhere on the earth called Vrindavan, and because of the earth planet, she's spreading the glories of the earth, making the earth glorious. Why is the earth glorious? The earth is glorious because of Vrindavan. Why is Vrindavan glorious? Because of the footprints of Krishna. Right? That's what we'll find out next line. We have to, yeah, the first line ends with Kirti. Why is it glorious? So then we have a question. The earth is glorious. On the earth planet, Vrindavan is glorious. What makes it glorious? The next line you find out. Devaki Sutta, who's that?
Krishna.
The son of Devaki. Pada, what does pada mean?
Feet.
Ambuja.
Lotus.
It's name for lotus flower. Labdha means what? Prinarika. What?
I don't know.
What about, what does loba mean?
Loba means greed.
Green, gain.
Love.
So love, and lobe, all these L-A-B-G-H, L-O-B-D-H, all means to gain, to profit, to acquire, to, it's greed. Greed means you're collecting a lot. You're profiting a lot. So loba, labdha. So you should know this word. I keep asking this over and over again. I keep forgetting over and over again.
No.
You notice how I keep asking you, what does this mean? It's about 10th time I asked you last month. So Lakshmi, what does this mean?
Like a fortune.
Yeah, something. So Devaki Sutta, the son of Devaki Krishna, has lotus feet, which are acquired by, which are a treasure. Lakshmi means treasure, wealth. Lakshmi means wealth, means goddess of fortune. And Lakshmi means lira, you know lira? Lira means paisa in Italy. Rubies, rubles. Rubles. That's interesting how Russian and Sanskrit are so similar. They say rubles. We say rubies. She said lira. We say bucks. Dollars. So it's like that. So there is this glorious because Vrindavan has acquired the treasure of Krishna's lotus feet. We saw the footprints of Krishna in Kanvan here and there. We've seen different places. So then third line, Govinda Venam, what does that mean? What's the chapter title? Vyangi. Who's Venam? Govinda's Venam. Mata, what does Mata mean?
Crazy.
What?
Mad, crazy.
It means intoxicated. Double T means intoxicated, madness. Calm, crowed, low, mada. Mada, M-A-D-A is Hindi for mata. Mata means crazy, mad. Intoxicated, because when you get intoxicated, you ask anybody from Russia, when they drink a lot of vodka, what happens? You get intoxicated. So you can tell it. Witness. Aramata, Mayur. So, Mayur, what's Mayur?
Peacocks.
Nitya means what?
Dancing.
So when you get to drink a lot of whiskey, then you start dancing around. She catalyzed each word for me. Nobody sees except me. Nice. You're feeling the word. You're feeling the verse. You know. She's transferring the words into actions. That's cool. Picture. She's just saying like picture. You know, by drew a verse of pictures. Yes. Okay. So what's this third line saying? Going up. Third line, what does it say? Peacocks are hearing Govinda's flute.
Dancing madly.
Ana means what? Upon or following. Following. Govinda Venam, Anu. So following the hearing of Govinda's flute, madness happens to the peacocks. Mad peacocks dance. That's what Sanskrit says. So the peacocks become mad, then dance. When they start dancing, they become mad. Which word happens first? Don't know. What is, are these words? Iksha, iksha. I-K-S-H, A-K-S-H, A, what? That's something to do, right? Seeing. Chakshu, A-K-H, I-K-H, Ikshate, Chakshu. So Prekshadri, you can understand, it means something about seeing. Preksha means seeing, Preksha. And Adri means mountain. You ever hear Niladri?
Yes.
Chaitanya Puri is called Niladri Parvat. Adri means mountain. It's a word for mountain. So that's, we don't know that word. Samasta, we know sattva. Everyone knows sattva. Sattva means what? Truth, purity. Purity is truth. Truth is pure. Sattva also means existence. Sattva means existence. Sattva guna, that means existing. And Rajaguna means creation, and Tamaguna means destruction. So sattva means balance, maintenance, existing. Samasta means what?
Holy.
Say his Hindi, sama. Samas ego means full, samasta, purna samasta, different words. Samasta sattvam. Because this Bhagavatam, remember, is a Kavya Shastra. What does Kavya Shastra mean? It's full of poetry. So it could say purna sattvam means completely pure, or completely good, or complete existence. But purna and sattvam don't rhyme. But, you know, samasta sattvam, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it has to have the chandas, it has to have the meter. So to maintain the meter, the poet will select the right adjective or the right noun. I do that in English. I'm writing about Radharani. Radharani, because Radharani has 1,000 unlimited anantanamam. So I'm writing, Radharani becomes mad with bewilderment. So I said, Mohini becomes mad. Because Mohini means the name for Radharani. So, you know, I change the word for, I try to match the verb with like if it's Gaya, I say Govinda. If it hits someone, I say Hari hits the demon, or instead of Krishna, it's the demon. Or it says Govinda keeps his fingers on the flute. It says that in the book. I changed it to Krishna keeps, because K and K. So I try to make my English more poetical by different tricks, which they do in Sanskrit also. And I also always try to substitute pronouns with formal nouns. Like you say, because usually when you read all the books you read, the English system is, say, Krishna, you're describing a long list of Krishna's beauty. Krishna has lotus eyes, and he has red lips, and he has a beautiful face, and he has this, and he wears the yellow dhoti, and he plays the flute. All those he, she, those are all pronouns. I changed, put a name there. Say, Krishna plays the flute, and Govinda has a beautiful face, and Govinda smiles like rose stars, and I always put Nam Sangras on everywhere. So people are hearing Prem Nam, reading Prem Nam, they're getting more benefit because she and he are not Prem Nam. This little trick I do when I write my books. So you should do this in Italian and Russian also. Nobody, he. And I have a piece of paper, A4 size piece of paper, with about, well, there's two columns, about 50, each column is 26 lines on a paper. It's about 52, 55 words, names for Krishna and Radharani, on the other side of Radharani. So I'm typing, I'm writing an article, I flip, Lajeshri. Radharani's lying. On a flower bed. I say, Lajeshri is lying on the flower bed. I say, Radharani. R and L don't rhyme, you see? So you should do that with the Italian, you know, like some Italian word begins with L, you use the word Radharani's name, L, if it fits the context. Anyways, you get the heck of it. You write for 30 years, different things will come up. So we have the last line, something about seeing, and we don't know much now. Equal and truth, or we don't know too much how to translate the last line. That's basically, we don't know. We can't figure out just by, at this point, our understanding of Sanskrit, words we picked up along the way. But what the translation is, that the peacocks are dancing, that was clear from line 3. Mata mayur nirta, mad peacocks are dancing in madness, hearing Krishna's flute. And other creatures who are also on the tops of the hills are seeing the peacocks, they're becoming stunned. That's what the avarata means, stunned. So that's I'll read a translation of Rishya in front of you. Oh Sakhi, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth. Bhuva Kirti Vidanoti, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna. Love the Lakshmi, Padambuja, Krishna, Devaki Sutta Padambuja. Having attained the treasure of Krishna's lotus feet, Devaki Nandan, the peacocks are dancing madly when they hear Govinda's flute. So one line is Devaki Nandan, that's the guy from Mathura. Next line is Govinda, that's the guy from Vrindavan. There's no name of Krishna Mathura, Govinda. Govinda means he got that name in Vrindavan, Ezra Govardhan Leela. Indra gave the name Govinda, which is in the next chapter. Chapter 24 and 25, Govardhan Leela. Shukadeva knows all his names, so he used the name Govinda here. Govinda Venam. Because Devaki Nandan in Mathura is not playing Venam. So it'll be out of context and not the right Siddhanta to use, connect the name Devaki Nandan or Vasudeva Nandan or Vasudeva Sutta with the concept of playing the flute. Because the son of Devaki and the son of Vasudeva in Mathura never plays the flute. The flute is only in Vrindavan and only with Vrindavan Krishna. Vrindavan Krishna is known by the name Nanda Sutta. Yashoda Dulal, Govinda Gopal, Giridhari Sham Hari Murari, Sham Apyari Govardhanandari. Govinda Gopal Sri Lara Lila, Priya Priyatam Sri Shama Sham. Kishore Kishore Radha Murali Dar, Radhika Hari Radha Damodar. That's some of the names of Krishna in Vrindavan. So they become crazy, and you see that when somebody become crazy, then you also become crazy. Everyone's going crazy. That's Vrindavan. Govinda Venam Adamata Mayuram Dritam. That's how happens. People come to Vrindavan, they're pretty ordinary, pretty sane. After a while, they hang around here for some 5-10 years and see all these crazy people around, and dogs acting crazy, monkeys acting crazy. You know, monkeys jump on the back of a dog, and dog runs up and down the sidewalk and Radhakund. Back and forth, the monkey's holding on the fur of the dog, and everyone's laughing, trying to change job at the same time. Like my friend said, why'd you come to Bangkorakun to change job? I said, you go there to get entertained. I don't want to sit in a Bangkorakun and get entertained by dancing monkeys and all the kids, and so I stay home and from my Tagarji and Sanjava. He can't concentrate on Java at Bangsarokan, although it's a very high place, rusty place. It's really crazy things going on to watch, you know. And we're curious creatures. Human beings are very curious. And everybody likes to be entertained, because life is pretty boring by yourself. Somebody's looking outside themselves to be entertained. And everybody's pretty much a walking bore. So they're looking up. Where's your entertainment? For me, entertainment is in the mirror. I look in the mirror, I get all my entertainment. Sometimes a horror show. You know, Monday morning after Sunday night. Sometimes a surprise, you know, especially now I have hair, I don't know what I look at Sunday in the morning because I wear a hat to bed, sometimes the hair's all going crazy. I said, that's a cool look. It wasn't going to hair's steady. Okay, let's look at some other translations here. Where's my page marker? Lord. Thank you. Okay. Gita Press Ki Jai. Hanuman Prasad Prodar Ki Jai. That was verse number 9?
10.
Oh, great. We're making progress. Verse 10 of chapter 21 of Vinayogi 10th Canto. Oh, Sakhi is saying, Sakhi said, oh Sakhi, one Sakhi to another, the soil of Vrindavan, the bhuvi becomes earth, becomes soil, S-O-I-L. The soil of Vrindavan enhances the glory of the earth. So it makes it outshine even the heavenly regions, which is, of course, not in the verse, but this is a commentary also included in translation. In other words, Vrindavan is more glorious than heaven. Usually people on Earth planet, on Bhumi Lok, Bhumi, they want to get out, go to a better place, go to a higher place, go to heaven, go to some better place. Most religions of the world, they promise a better place outside of the Earth. It's called heaven, or different shastras, they have different names for it. In Hindu shastra, they call it swarga. In Christian shastra, they call it heaven. In Quran, what do they call it? Spiritual world?
Jannat.
They call it Jannah. Every guy that goes there gets 50 wives and stuff. That's desirable. what do wives get? But it's, everything's male-oriented, so it's to entice the men to be good. Women are already good by nature, so they don't need any inducement. If you go to heaven, you got 50 houses. They say, well, I want it more. One too much. But husbands have the idea that 50 is bad, good. So the soil is this. Earth planet is more fortunate than heaven, because this soil has been graced by those feet of Sri Krishna, and says the son of Vishoda. This is a very rustic commentator, because in some Puranas it says another name for Yashoda is Devaki. It says Dri Namni. Yashoda Dri Namni says Devaki. Devaki is another name. So Vishnu Chakravarti, in his commentary, when he's discussing that another chapter about the Devaki, what the meaning of Devaki is, he said that's natural why Yashoda became friends with Devaki, because Devaki has the same name as Yashoda. And Yashoda is also a name for Devaki is a name for Yashoda. So this person is adding a lot of purple here, because the verse says Devaki Nandan. He's saying the little seed is son of Yashoda. It doesn't say Yashoda Nandan or Nanda Nandan. And further, because of witnessing the dance of the peacocks in rapture to hear the music of Sri Krishna's flute, which they mistake to be the low rumbling of clouds, all the creatures on the summits of Mount Gauran cease from every activity and stand motionless, a thing which is not seen in any other sphere. This is quite, this translator from Gita Press is adding a lot of commentaries in his translation here. It's actually nice English. You get a lot of good picture of the whole thing. It's a good book. I mean, you know, I didn't know this book's been existing for a long time in English. That's a very nice translation. Gives a more fluffed up meaning, expanded meaning, so fluffed out meaning of the verse. Why the earth is glorious? Because Krishna's footprints. The earth is not only glorious to that glory of having Krishna's footprints makes the earth better than Swarga Loka. And then the next verse mentions Lakshmi. What does it say? Lakshmi, love the Lakshmi. Because in Lakshmi, where Lakshmi lives, that's beyond Swarga, that's Vaikuntha. And Krishna's in Vaikuntha walking around, but he doesn't leave any footprints. Because in Vaikuntha, Krishna as Vishnu wears shoes everywhere. Distinguishing characteristic of Krishna and Vrindavan, we can say Vishnu and Vrindavan, or Krishna, of course, we know it's Krishna, is that he doesn't wear shoes anywhere. When he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, that's all Aishwarya. So Aishwarya wears shoes. You run around the beach barefoot, but when you get on the airplane and go back to Russia, you have to wear shoes. I won't let you on the airplane with no shoes. Say, I'll just keep them going, man. I was there 6 years ago, I never wore shoes. Well, go buy some shoes or you can't fly back to Moscow. Okay. So, things are different here. Here's Prabhupada's translation. Sometimes the gopis spoke to their girlfriends about Krishna. Dear Sakhi, our Vrindavan is proclaiming the glories of the entire earth because earth planet is glorified by the lotus footprints of the son of Devaki. Besides that, when Govinda plays his flute, the peacocks immediately become mad. And all the animals and trees and plants, either on the top of Gauranga Hill or in the valley. That's interesting. This is Audrey versus Audrey, which means a mountaintop. But mountains have a top, they also have a bottom. And the bottom is in the valley. I think you got short on your sleep quota last night. So everybody, from up and down everywhere, they're seeing a dancing peacock, they stand still. They listen to the transcendental sound of the flute with great attention. We think that this boon is not possible or available on any other planet. Of course, the gopis don't really know. They've never been on any other planet. They don't know anything about planets. They've never been to Mathura. What to speak of Delhi or Agra or anywhere. But they said, as far as we can understand, there's these footprints and this flute, you can't get anywhere. So Prabhupada has a commentary, we'll read it while we're here. Although the gopis were simple village coward women and girls, they had good knowledge of Krishna. Similarly, one can learn the highest truth simply by hearing the Vedas from authoritative sources. Authoritative sources, key. Watch out. Are you authorized? I hope so. For your sake. Okay, let's see what Kavi Karma has to say. Nothing more than lighting and sleeping suits. Oh, there you go. Really inspiring to the teacher. Yeah, he may feel the same way, but he doesn't want to show it, you know. Okay, so Kavi Karanpur says, describing this similar incident, the peacocks feel joyful at heart. This whole thing. His depiction of this Vinaya Geet Shloka number 10, 21st chapter, from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Another gopi, desiring the eternal association with Krishna, yet afraid of impending separation, says, the fortunate earth holds a position higher than Brahmaloka. Earth is supremely worshipable because Krishna marks her with his splendid footprints, like an independent lover drawing designs on the breast of his beloved. This is the characteristic of Kavi Karanpur. Every sentence, every word of this book is to connect you to the loving pastimes of Radha Krishna. We're just talking about some flute. Some coward boy in the village, all boys play flutes. It's not a big thing. And some peacocks dancing. So he's seeing the dancing. The peacocks are dancing on the earth. And that's inspiring him to think of Krishna marking the earth of Radharani's body with his fingernails. So he's, you know, everything points to the center. The center is the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is Braj. This is what Vrindavan Bhajan means. And this is what Manjari Bhava means, to unite Radha with Krishna in love. So to do that, you have to be an agent of love yourself. So that's the process of unfoldment, the process of evolvement, the process of transformation is done by Bhakti Bhajan. So we have a lot of unfolding to do, a lot of transformation to become an agent of love. Because as I said, and I'll repeat again, everything and everyone in Vrindavan is working consciously or unconsciously to unite Radha and Krishna. So the question is, are you doing that? Are you working and consciously, or unconsciously at least, to bring Radha and Krishna together? So it's great. Every time I read this book of Ananda Vrindavana Shambhu, I'm merely transported to a realm of ambrosia. The endless flow of nectar from Krishna's flute has transformed the heart of Mother Earth. As one in ecstasy experiences erect bodily hairs and thrill bumps, similarly, the grasses covering earth stand up straight in shoots. The glories of Vrindavan are beyond the comprehension of a person like me. Here, the peacocks, feeling joyful at heart, begin gently dancing when they hear the sweet sound of Murari's Murali. There you go. Murari's Murali, not Krishna's Murali. Murari's Murali. Stunned by that sound, the soft leaves of the creepers blowing in the wind become motionless. So the creepers are exhibiting sattvic bhav. What sattvic bhav is it?
Motionless.
It
means stunned.
Stamba. Guru Stamba. What does Guru Stamba mean?
Being stunned.
Garuda.
Garuda
Stamba. Stamba means a pillar. It's pretty stiff, huh? It's stone. And on top of the stone pillar is who?
Garuda.
It's called Garuda Stamba. What do you know about that?
I don't know nothing about that.
You ever heard of Lord Chaitanya Leela and Jagannath Puri?
Yes.
Where does he take darshan on Lord Jagannath from?
Garuda Stamba. Yeah, I understood. That behind it is the column.
Yeah. Why does he stand there?
To see only Jagannath. Sunday only Jagannath is visible.
Because you go to Jagannath Puri temple, there's not beams there, they don't have steel I-beams or girders, whatever you call them. The whole temple is made of stone. So they have stone pillars that are holding up the roof. So when you stand for darshan, there's hundreds of pillars between you and the darshan. So you have to stand, position yourself in such a way you can try to see as many deities as you can. Balaram, Subhadra, Surajan, Chakra, and Jagannath. So Lord Chaitanya stands in the back, because if he gets too close to Jagannath, he'll collapse in ecstasy. Because the first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the Puri temple, he saw Jagannath as Krishna playing the flute. And being in Radha Bhav, if you see your lover, you want to run. I'm running. You want to run to meet your lover. So when he took sannyas and finally came first time to Puri, the Mahaprabhu entered the temple, he saw Krishna, Samasundara, Prajananda. Oh, He started running full speed like lightning. And the camel guards thought it was a madman, some puggle. You know, so shaved head, some Hare Krishna ISKCON guy or something. Some crazy guy. They got their sticks. Before they could get to him, he fainted. He couldn't tolerate the ecstasy of having darshan of Krishna, so he fainted. So then Sarvabhauma took him to his house, and long story. So then from that point on, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Lord Chaitanya, don't go so close to Jagannath, because he's like a chumbak. The lover's like a chumbak, and the beloved's like iron filings. So they're across the street, 50 meters apart, 100 meters apart, not much problem. But if she crosses the street and gets closer, then they may embrace or anything. So that the magnetic power increases in proximity. So, hi, if she's going to work, you're going to work, hi, bye, you know. But so Sarvabhauma said, you should keep a distance from that chumbak, that black chumbak. He's charged up. he has a lot of power, attracting power. He's called Krishna, you know, all attractive. So you get too close, you get stuck. So you should stay a distance and take darshan toward a door. Door darshan. So he stayed in the back of the temple, way in the back of the temple. There's a Guru's stump and he stands behind it. And he's like taking darshan and he leans his hand behind the wall because he starts to faint, even from a distance. When his fingers touched the wall, the stone in the wall melted and got these three fingers. Went down the wall like that. And his floor melted and caught his footprints. And he took those stones out and made a temple, a little small temple outside somewhere in the Prikkamarga Jagannath. He had a darshan, you saw? He had a darshan, the imprint of his feet. And some people get cloth, they give Vajari some kumkum, and some Ganga Jal, and they give him some white cotton cloth. And he said, put this in the footprint and make an impression of it. And then they make a frame of picture of Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya's feet are big. I had a copy of that one time. Very big. It's big, 7 feet tall. So that's where he stays. Guru Stamba. So this is what's happening here, that the creepers became stunned. Okay, that's verse 10. Interesting expansion of the verse from the rustic heart of Kavi Karmapur. That's why he's called Kavi. He himself is personification of poetry. Let's see what any commentary I have available here. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. This Vishnu, the sweetness of Vrindavan, which is the place of such pastimes, is now expanding abundantly. With a desire to observe this, the gopis said, hey Saki, let us go to Vrindavan forest. We will not be at fault if we do so. With this in mind, another gopi speaks this verse. Samasta Satvam in Vrindavan means only pure mode of goodness is manifest to the exclusion of passion and ignorance. Samasta Satvam. I mean, smashing is completely, only in Vrindavan is only pure goodness. That's if you're in bhava and prema. Otherwise, you can experience a little Rajagun Tamagun in your life here in Vrindavan, I think so. Samasta Sava means only goodness, thank you. Only goodness? I don't know. A little Rajagun too, a little Tamagun. I see this little expanded here. The forest of Vrindavan has now become even sweeter because it's the place of Krishna's pastimes. That's there. Vrindavan is spreading. Vichanoti means Vishesh Bhavena Tanoti. The glories of the earth are better than Swarga because the earth is marked with the symbols of Krishna's feet. The word Devaki also refers to Mother Yashoda as stated in Brihad Vishnu Puran. Dri Namni Nanda Varyaya Yashoda Devaki. The wife of Nanda Maharaj says two names, Yashoda and Devaki. The Gopi said, it's not possible to find Krishna's footprints in Vaikuntha. How boring. Now it's possible to see. Now is it possible to see such beautiful cowherd pasturing there? And apparently, Vaikuntha, they don't have beautiful pastures. It's said in other shows also. Yes, obviously, Vaikuntha, there's Kamadhenu cows. I think they just stay in the barn all the time. I don't know. Vrindavan and peacocks, ask Govinda. Here it's a little more personalized here. Peacocks, hey Govinda, make us dance. So Krishna plays the flute and the peacocks surround Krishna and dance madly in time with the rhythm of his melody. And while standing in the middle of the peacocks dancing, Krishna also dances and sings. Then these peacocks, satisfied with Krishna's flute recital, out of their gratitude offer for his pleasure their own divine feathers. In the usual manner of musicians, Krishna gladly accepts their offerings and places a peacock feather upon his turban. Gentle animals such as deer and doves greatly relish Krishna's transcendental performance. And to get a good view, they flock to the peaks of the hills. Then they watch the breathtaking program. They become stunned in ecstasy. Another guy said, oh, Sekis, we intensely desire to relish Krishna's dancing, singing, and flute playing, and to see all those beasts, deer, doves, and birds assembled on the hill slopes who have become stunned in bliss. They want to go see the show. Go, we say, well, we stand around here. There's actions in the forest. Krishna's dancing, playing flute. And all the animals are enjoying the concert. What are we doing? We're left out. Let's get out of here. So that's verse number what?
Ten.
Okay, let's see it. Let's look at it again. So this verse is reminding us of Vrindavan Mahima, the glories of Vrindavan, not available in Swarga, not available in Vaikuntha, not available anywhere else on the earth planet except this Vrindavan. What's available here is dancing peacocks and Krishna's flute playing and Krishna's footprints. It's a place where everyone goes mad in love for Krishna. Krishna is the center of everyone's existence. Even human beings, men and women, and animals and birds, and deer, and trees and creepers, everyone centers their life around Krishna. Even the rocks, insentient beings like rocks and mountain peaks, they take part in Krishna's Leela by melting in ecstasy. the rocks turn into liquid. And started flowing, rivers started flowing down the sides of the mountain, molten rocks, red rocks, yellow rocks, blue rocks. So you see streams of different colors, melted rocks. It looks like a river coming down the mountainside, but it's a river of molten potassium sulfate. So it's blue, or sulfur rock, it's a yellow red river. Or garic rock is Red River. So it's an amazing sight to see. Vrindavan, if you read the description of Vrindavan and the effect of Krishna's flute on everything, sentient, insentient, mobile, immobile, you'll think it's a psychedelic playland. It's like, it's a living land of LSD, you know. I'm not joking. I mean, it's like the description I read, Shastra, rivers, the colored rivers are flowing down the mountains, loosening the sky with diamonds, you know. There's a famous song by the Beatles. John Lennon had a daughter, and his daughter drew a little picture. She was about 5 years old, she drew a picture. And he said, "What is this?" And the girl said, "It's Lucy in the sky with diamonds." Lucy is the name of a girl, Lucy. L-U-C-Y. And she was standing on a mountaintop, and in the sky were little stars, like little shaped like diamonds. So the girl, little five-year-old girl's imagination, she said, "This is Lucy in the sky with diamonds." So John Lennon took that drawing and wrote a song on it, called Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It was all about an LSD trip. I'm on a boat in a river, and this and that. Really great. L-lysergic acid diethylamine. LSD is abbreviation for a chemical composition which makes your brain go crazy. Lysergic acid diethylamine. Got that? LSD. Lysergic acid diethylamide. Don't play with that stuff. It's not recommended. Take it from your grandfather. Grandfathers have much experience in life to pass on to the grandchildren. Save your trip. save your trips for some more sane way to go. So this is, because when you read about Vrindavan and melting rocks and check it out, this is Kavi Karanpur. Krishna plays his flute. As the swans are swimming in Yamuna. And Yamuna freezes, and the swans get their feet frozen, stuck in a frozen river, and they can't eat, they can't bite the lotus stems. Lotus stems are just beyond the reach, sitting out of the ice. They can eat the lotus stems, they can't get anything to eat. And their wives are beyond, they can't jump on their wife, and they can't eat the lotus stems. Because their feet are frozen in the river. So Hara Nidra Maitan Bhayam, everything's closed while it's finished. So imagine, you know, the feet get frozen in the river. And Krishna, underneath the trees, there's platforms. You see trees have platforms underneath. Sometimes I saw this under there, you know, chill out. they stay there. So you make a tree, you make a big platform around it for people to sit down in the shade. That's nice. So I had these in Krishna Lila also, but a very shiny stone. They're so polished, it looks like mirrors. So the birds come, they see the platforms, and they think it's water. So they're on the platforms, and they start pecking the platforms to get drink some water. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, that's like wild stuff, you know. That's why I say it's a Vrindavan as described in the Shastras by the Rasik Jhana, is a psychedelic playland. They say, they describe the kunjas. The doors look like walls, and the walls look like doors. So Tatila comes down to Radhakund to get in Lita's kunj. She sinks at the door, and she goes open, and she hits her nose on the wall. She thinks the wall is the door. So when you go to the door, you go like this, and you push, and you start to walk in through. But she starts to push the wall to walk through the door, and hits her nose on the door. Oh. I thought it was the door. So she's like... This is the psychedelic effect of Vrindavan. You don't think so? Okay. So we can appreciate here how the different names are there, Devi Nandan, and then it becomes Govinda. And so we were saying, what is this Devaki? So then it has to be some explanation. So, because when you read Shastra, what questions do you ask?
When, why?
Who? What? When? Where? Why? How? Why Devaki Nandan? That's Mathura. This is Govis and Vrindavan. So I ask you without the purport, we don't know. So Vishnu said, you don't know? I know. Brihad Naradiya Purana was it? Brihad Vishnu Purana tells it, he shows two names, Devaki is another name. It's like Shasha and Alexandra. You know, so people have two names. So you probably have some name, Fufu or something like that. What's your nickname? Come on, tell us.
In childhood, my mother and Gudu.
Yeah, okay. You know, I think that you're not Indian. Get out of here. Gudu.
Gudu.
You do good, or you good, do nothing? Or
it's good. Short for Gudiya. Like small baby girl, Gudiya.
Achha.
So short for that. So short for short.
Yeah, sure. That's cool. Thank you. That's sweet. Yeah, like one guy's name. His name is Pavlochan. Really nice name. They call him Papu. Papu. Hey, Pavlosha, nice name. One guy's name is Ghanasham, they call him, you know, Boopoo or something like that. And I met this driver, car driver, so his name is, my name is Boopoo. Hey, Boopoo? Well, my name is Ghanasham, but my nickname is Boopoo, so everybody called him Boopoo. And he has such a beautiful name, why do you say, I don't know. Boopoo. So, Devaki Sutta. Govinda. So I think we discussed some points of this verse. Any questions on this verse? Oh, can I see there's a bag with some books over there behind that thing? Behind that blue mat. Take them out. Both of them. Yeah. Okay. I have a reference here. From Brihad Bhavatamrita. Let's find it. Oh, we can find it here. Because he discusses, gives a commentary on some of these verses in this book. So we have it noted here. He quotes the verse here on a chapter 7, part 3 of Brihad Bhavatamrita, verse 108. He quotes the same verse from Vena Gita, chapter 21, verse 10. He gives a commentary. This is Sananda Goswami's commentary on the same verse. It's really long also. Wow. Four-page, five-page purport. Simply by mentioning that Gopi's special love for Krishna has put Pariksit Maharaj in their mood. That's interesting. The Gopi's bhav, mood means the bhav. So just by talking about the Gopi's love for Krishna, Pariksit Maharaj, who's not following Raghunandan Bhakti, he's just a king, he's in Dasyaras, I don't know what his Ras is, but Dallas Madhurya Rati. But he's just by hearing about the Gopi's love for Krishna, he's getting into that mood himself. So see the value, see the power of Hari Katha. Shukadeva is inspired to recite some of the prayers the Gopi sang in praise of the great personalities of Braj, beginning with Vrindavan Forest itself. When a group of Gopis heard the song of Krishna's all-enchanting flute as he entered Vrindavan Forest, they were immersed in the rust of pure love and shared their thoughts with one another in this verse. This is amazing, very good English editing. One Gopi said to Radharani, Vrindavan has made the earth more glorious than Indra's heavenly planet, or more glorious than every other planet in the universe. By marking Vrindavan with the unique auspicious footprints, he has bestowed upon every creature in Vrindavan the rarely found prize jewel goal of all human life, bhakti yoga, the treasure of blissful devotional service to him. Vrindavan is marked with Krishna's bare feet, which are compared to lotuses because of being very tender. The ground of Vrindavan is exceedingly lucky to be touched by Krishna's lotus feet, despite its being covered with pebbles and thorns. Vrindavan is most fortunate because of Krishna's presence. Though Vishnu and other forms of Bhagavan appear in Swarga and other places, they are only avatars of Krishna, but Devaki Nandan, who appeared in Vrindavan, is the source of all avatars. This is really a long purport. It's amazing stuff. Although the Gopis know everything there is to know, their overwhelming ecstatic love forces them to see. Might you open window. Although the Gopis know everything there is to know, their overwhelming ecstatic love forces them to see Krishna as the son of Yashoda and no one else. They only call Krishna Devaki Sutta only because it was Devaki who brought him, the original avatar, into this world. Only in Vrindavan does Bhagavan appear as Govinda, who delights in playing with the cows and cowards, wearing peacock feather and gunja berries on his head, and decorates himself with garlands of kadamba, other forest ornaments, and holds in his hand his constant friend, the flute. Vinam Anu means as soon as the peacocks drink a few drops of the nectar of Krishna's flute, they burst into wild dancing. Wow, it's amazing, perfect. Another possible explanation of the word preksha, which means to see, is the peak of Govardhan Hill is most beautiful and is always visible to the people of Braj. At the beginning of Govardhan Puja, Krishna sat on Govardhan's peak and announced, Shaivasmi, I am this hill. Wow. Is that right? She was really breaks up every word, goes on for paragraphs, every word of the purport, every word of the verse. When the creatures of Vrindavan hear Krishna playing his flute, many of them faint from ecstasy and fall on top of one another. And they stacked in piles. They resemble the peaks of Govardhan. brothers, other beautiful hills. Preksha Audrey. So they hear the flute, they start falling on top of each other. We create mountains of deer. Mountains of tigers. Actually, apart from the peacocks, all the living entities cease their external activity. When the peacock stands wildly, other animals remain motionless. They fix their minds on the flute sound and looking at Krishna. Everyone experiences the greatest limit of ecstasy. Every living entity started offering seva to Krishna. The birds were mildly chirping for Krishna's pleasure. And all other beings were happily absorbed in their own personal services. Wow. Apart and for the mischievous and violent animals, the main way to serve Krishna was to put aside their natural proclivities. So the tigers didn't eat the deer that day. The cobras didn't bite any coward boys. So he said the logical conclusion is this. First, what happened? Krishna saw the peacocks dancing. Then he responded to the dancing by playing his flute. When the peacocks first saw Krishna under the forest, they saw the friend of all peacocks, the one who has a peacock feather on his head. They saw him as a big peacock. So they pick up their feathers. They became mad with joy and began to dance. Seeing the peacocks dance, Krishna raised his flute to his lips and started playing. So one peacock inspired another peacock. So first the peacocks manifest the ecstasy of dancing. And then after hearing the flute, they became stunned, overcome by ecstasy. Such a scene is never observed in Vaikuntha. Second album, Clay and Kija. Yeah, okay, take some water. It's so hot. Okay, Arishan and Tagore. Oh, yeah. Has Gopal Chamba have another entry here? Let's see what Gopal Chamba has to say. Shiva Swami Pad Ki Jai. So it's Sanat Goswami's commentary from Briha Bhavatamrita. And this is Jiva Swami's explanation of Veno Gita. The animals and birds became so enchanted to the sound that it seemed as if they had been caged. Vrindavan is broadcasting the glories of the earth, for Krishna personally played here while marking the land with his lotus feet. The sound of the flute, peacock's dance, and wild animals became civilized. It's good. Somebody should play the flute around here. Make sure you guys civilized. Vrindavan had turned into a dancing arena. We don't have the gopis are saying, we don't have the capacity to attain a good fortune from Vrindavan. We worship the peacocks because of their good fortune every moment. We are more condemned than the animals, since they can freely see Krishna, whereas we cannot see even his shadow. Well, there you have it. The animals are more fortunate than the gopis. That's the bhava of a devotee, actually. The devotee always feels low and downtrodden. He always feels that everyone else has more fortune than me. He always has the idea, like we say, Krishna appeared as Gauranga Hill. He said, Ani Yor, give me more. Give me more food. So the devotees always see everyone else has more than me. This person has more devotion than me. This person has more surrender than me. This person is doing more smarn than me, more meditation than me. This person is more fortunate than me. So this way, one always stays humble if he always sees more, rather than saying, Ani Yor, give me more food, like Giraj. He says, you're more than me. You're better than me. So that's a good way to see the world and to think that world. Think that way. Generally, we try to put everybody down. They have a phrase in psychology. We compete with our equals. We lord it over our juniors. We're envious of our seniors. Those that are older or wiser or beyond, better than us, we're envious of them. Those that are equal to us. Are there wind or what? I need it. Oh, the door is not locked. So those who are equal to us, we compete with them viciously. And if someone is lower than us, we lord over them. Hey, carry this, carry that, do this, do that. Yes, okay. There we go, yeah. On the block. So that's not good. We should try to not think like that. Try to think the lows are lower. There's no lower, there's no equal, there's no higher or more. All are more than me, better than me. Then you can go forward nicely, but not the limitations of ego and envy. So let's chant verse number 11. Veno Gita. Alrighty, okay, I'll say you say this was sung Tilak Meter, same as Brahma Samhita. Most of these verses are like that. Tanya Samuda Gatayopi Harinya Eta. Yananda Nandana Mupata Vichitra Vesham.
Yananda Nandana Mupata Vichitra Vesham.
Akarnya Vena Rani Tamsa Krishna Sara.
Akarnya Vena Rani Tamsa Krishna Sara.
Pujam Dadur Virachitam Pranayava Loke.
Pujam Dadur Virachitam Pranayava Loke.
So what does Danya mean?
Danya
great.
What do you mean?
Danya means fulfilled.
Well, you're a Don, D-A-N. Danny Walla.
Privileged.
Danya means fortunate.
Fortunate.
Muda, what does Muda mean?
Ignorant.
That means fool.
Foolish.
That's like, it's different. Foolish, maybe not crazy, just as foolish things. Now be crazy means your brain doesn't work. Muda means you do something not good, your brain's working. Crazy means your brain's not working, your brain's working, but you do foolish things. Because of lack of education, or lack of good manners, or lack of maturity, you act foolishly. That's called muda. Gatya harinya. Eta. Probably don't know many of the words for the meaning. So, what to do? So, there's something about fool. Oh, I know. First line, fool. Muda. Dhani means fortunate. Blessed, fortunate. Mudha gatya means got into a foolish, ignorant species of life, like an animal. And harinya means deer.
Hiranyani.
Huh?
Hiranyani.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a deer, Hiranangi. Hiranyangi means has...
She's born from a deer.
It's a gobi. It's one of the Ubasakis.
Born, then one of the limbs, like maybe eyes. Anga means limbs.
Yeah, no, but this particular gobi is described in Radha Krishna Gandhi. She took birth from Anga, from the body. Anga means body, doesn't mean eyes. Haranakshi means doe-eyed. Haranakshi. This Harananga means from the body, Anga, body of a deer she took birth. Because there's some story about it. I forget, something is going on. Some deer, I don't remember. Anyway, she took birth from a deer. She's a human being, a gobi. She doesn't look like a deer. Just have horns on her head, like that cow we saw yesterday. The cow looked like an antelope or gazelle. We were in this ashram, the cow had pointed horns about half a meter long, really long, just going straight up like this, really long and close. They weren't like this or like this, like a fork. And she was really shy because other cows were hitting with her head. And she turned around and she could put right through the belly of the other cow. She was angry, you know. It was a sharp thing, you know. They were pushing her out and she was okay, you know. She doesn't know her power, I guess. That's like some women are like that. They don't know the power they have. They're playing humble pie. And someone says, don't play humble pie. Be aggressive. Then they watch out. You're in big trouble. So we don't know much about that first line. But the first line is these deer are fortunate. They're foolish animals. Animals are foolish in general. They have brain, but they're kind of foolish, you know. So they, just like another Vrindavan Shambhu said, so there's this little it's the winter time, the sun is filtering through the leaves of the trees. And on the ground there's little space, little dots, beams of sunshine coming on the ground. So between the beams of sunshine is shadow. So the deer thinks the shadow is little nuts. So the deer are going to eat the nuts that lying on the ground. And so they're foolish deer, they don't know it's shadows. They're trying to eat the shadows. This is described in Nama Dhamma Shambhu. That means Muda Gatya. Gatya means go. They entered into a foolish species, animal. It's like the birds glide into the platforms thinking they're water. You know, the water, they think they're going to land in the water. They go down there. And they crash into the shiny platform and hurt their beak, you know, wow. It's not all it's water. It's so shiny polished, think it's water. Like a blue sapphire platform around a tree. No shores or jewels around here. Blue sapphire platform, you make a lot of rings with that. And they go, oh, it's water, boom. Child. Thank you. At least the generator is respectful. So, foolish deer have approached Nandan, seer Nandanandam, who is gorgeously dressed, upata vichitra vesha. Vesha means clothes. Vichitra means variegated, colorful. Upata vichitravesham. Akarnya venam. Akarnya means what? Karna means ear. Hearing, Vena Ranitam. Ranitam means the sound of the flute. Sa Krishna Sara. Sara means black. Krishna Sara means a type of deer. What color are they?
Black.
What color are Krishna Sara deer?
Black.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. They're spotted deer when Sita Devi saw a deer, what kind of deer was it?
Golden
deer. Was it really a deer?
It was
a tantric yogi, shape changer, shape shifter. The human being became a golden deer to attract the girls. Girls like gold, you know. And she just said, "I golden deer. I want that gold. I want that pet deer, golden deer." I was the only girl on the block with a golden deer. So Ram said, I'll catch that deer for you. And long story, it's called Ramayan. That deer caused a lot of trouble. Gold gets you in trouble, God watch out. Don't play with gold. So that's going on. Krishna's gorgeously dressed. And the doe and the bucks, that's the male, female deer, doe and bucks, worship Krishna with looks of love and affection. Puja means worship. Virashitam means to do, perform. Pranaya means love. And avaloka means glances, looking. praying Vajna Charita Bhakti Vilochan, Bhakti Vilochan, Vilochan Vilokya, all means sight, vision, look. Blessed are these foolish deer because they approach Nandanandan, who is gorgeously dressed and playing his flute. Indeed, the doe and the bucks worship Krishna with looks of love and affection. Pujam pranaya aloka. So, what does that say? So, generally, when we think of puja, what do we think of? I'm not asking translation. I'm not asking what does it mean.
Flowers,
incense, ghee lamp, charmer whisk, etc. But what's the puja being done? How are the bucks and how are the deer doing puja here?
Looks of love.
So we can worship Krishna with looks of love. So that's nice. So that means if we see devotees as worshipable objects of our puja, we can worship the devotees with looks of love. Instead of just look, you can look. Okay, you survey the scene. Okay, there's you and there's you. Well, you look at the person, you can just look out of curiosity, lust or greed or interest or disinterest or whatever. But look with love, Krishna love, Krishna praying. This is the best way. So even a deer know how to look with love. There's a lesson in this verse. They're just, deer can love. But human beings have a hard time doing that. Deer are closer to their nature. The nature of a jiva is to love. So deer don't have so many coverings. We have so many coverings of prabdha karma, and uprupta karma, fructifying uprupta karma, so many karma coverings, so much conditioning, so much fear, so much hesitation, so much doubt, so much suspicion, so much so much anger, so much jealousy. We're really covered. Really covered jivas. So we can't really look with love. We have too many windows open. We have so many windows open on our screen, we can't open the window of our heart screen and show the window of our love. Got the wife window, the kid window, the job window, the husband window, the mother-in-law window, the father-in-law. Oh, so many windows. We can't just be real, be genuine, be transcendental. Be blissful. Okay, let's see what Prabhupada's translation is. It's verse number 10 or number 11? 11. 11 number. Okay, good deal. One Gopi said, "My dear Sakhi, just see the deer. They are dumb animals, but they have approached the son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna. Not only are they attracted by the dress of Krishna and Balaram, but as soon as they hear the playing of the flute, the deer along with their husbands offer respectful obeisance to Krishna." That's nice. Oh, I'm sure your father. Respectful obeisance. Why? How do they do that? With their looks of great affection. We're looking at Krishna with great affection. The gopis are envious of the deer. Why? What's the answer?
Because the deer can see Krishna and the gopis know.
What?
Because the deer is in the forest and they can see Krishna, but the gopis are in the village and they cannot see Krishna.
Very good answer, but wrong. It's right at one level, but wrong on this level.
Because the deers can spontaneously express their love as they like, but the gopis are bound by the surroundings, their family.
That's closer. That's half the answer. Three quarters, 76%. What's the full answer? The deer can express their love for Krishna along with their
husbands.
Can the gopis, can Radharani take Abhimanyu into the forest, into the Kunjalila? No. Can't get anywhere near the swell of Krishna. So that's why the deer are more fortunate, the gopis are saying they're more fortunate than us. So this is Prabhupada's commentary. He says it. The deer, the gopis are envious of the deer, not because they're seeing Krishna, they're in the forest and they can't, which you said, because they can go with their husbands. The Krishna star, the bucks, the husband. The gopis saw themselves not so fortunate because whenever they wanted to go to Krishna, their husbands were not very happy. Wouldn't block them, wouldn't let them get out of the house. They lock the door and stand there with sticks in their hand. You try to go out of this house, I'll beat you. Okay, Jack. Set aside. Gopis are black belts in karate. Bruce Gopi. Now I see another translation. These are interesting translations we're getting here today. Okay. That's number 12 or what?
11.
Yeah. 11. Blessed indeed are these female deer, though stupid of mind. Though stupid of mind, though hearing the music of the flute, offered in the company of the male deer, the black antelopes, they worship, performs with loving glances to the darling of Nanda, who has put on a wonderful garb. I love this old English, the darling of Nanda, Nanda Nandan, oh my darling. That's from movies of 1910, oh darling, I love you more than anything. Blah, 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 blah. Darling. That's hey baby. Different Bob. Oh, what happened to me? Let's see your page markers here. Okay. Dry rod is showing, I got extra guy here. Okay, 11. Another Gopi group leader, longing to see Krishna, said, O Sakhi, the deer and the devil must have performed severe penances and austerities in order to always hear Krishna's melodious flute and see his gorgeous face with their large, innocent eyes. Has anyone ever seen a deer up close?
Yeah.
Gone to the deer park? Deers are enough? I fed him through the fence. Their eyes, their pupils, their eyes are rectangular. Our pupil is round, you know? The black part, the center pupil. They're rectangular. Very well. But their eyes are very moist, very innocent, very big. Very beautiful. gentle, so much gentleness. So they're lucky. Now we can appreciate the extent of their fortune. Okay, that's that. There's not much to say there. Let's see what else we have here. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 8 books here. Keep us busy. Okay, now. This is 11 now. Alas, although we possess vast intelligence, we can't go to Krishna, our beloved. Thus our lives are fruitless. On the other hand, even though they're foolish, the deer have made their lives all perfect by approaching Krishna. That's Krishna, Sanat Goswami. But to speak of the glory of Vrindavan, even animals like deer are fortunate. Deer worship Krishna with their affectionate glances, because they have no other paraphernalia. Birds worship, how the birds worship Krishna?
Songs.
Well, they're songs. What can a deer do? A deer can do nothing but jump around. When Radha and Krishna wake up in the Kunja, who are the pet deer of Radha and Krishna? Rangini and Suranga. What does Suranga mean?
I don't know.
What does Ranga mean? Rangashala. Sports Stadium. It's the 10th time I told you. R-A-N-G-A. Kansas Rangashala means sports stadium, wrestling arena. Wake up. So Suranga means means good sportsmen. Well, when the gopis are in mind with Krishna, they say, you're just like Karanga. They say, like the gopis say, the gopis are speaking to each other, they say, Radharani, what's Radharani's pet deer's name? Rangini. Rangini and Suranga. Rangini means playful. They say, Rai, look, Rangini's husband is just like Krishna. He's running around all these other deer. So he's not Suranga, he's Kuranga. K-U-R means cruel, bad. Kuranga, bad player, foul player. He's playing bad. He's not being chased to Rangini. He's running around all these other does. So he accused Krishna of being Karanga. Very nice. So Karanga and Suranga. So the deer, they don't have anything to offer, but what happens when Krishna and Rai wake up in the morning, what happens in the Kunja? No, we're talking about Sukhansari, we're talking about deer.
And
yeah.
The deer lick the lotus feet of Radharani.
Right. Who licks who?
Suranga Krishna and Rangini
Radharani.
Right. Rangini licks Radharani's feet, and Suranga licks Krishna's feet. But more than that, they prance around inside the kunj. They prance, they kind of jump like they do the deer, they kind of just jump up and down. they all four jump up at the same time. It's like a helicopter. It's do. It's called prancing. Do. So that's entertaining. They make them laugh. You know, Ron Chris get a good laugh when you wake up. Good. Start off the day with a laugh. It's good. So, what else we got here? Let's see what Vishnu says. What's the time now? 447. There's a lot of imagery here, a lot of things to see, pictures of pain in your mind of the Leela, of the transcendental reality that's going on right now. Gopis are sitting, Gopis somewhere. I mean, Venugi. The word sma in the verse is danya sma muda gatyo. The word sma means certainly, it's an exclamation of astonishment or lamentation. Oh, sma, we don't have such good fortune. The Gopis say, hearing the sound of the flute, the doves worship Krishna with affectionate glances. So what can be said of the glances that we intelligent beings have given to Krishna? In other words, if the deer worshiping Krishna with their glances, how are the gopis worshiping Krishna with their glances? Radha Kripa Kataksha. When Radharani glances at Krishna, Venu Kurava. Nipati Saskari Tam Sikandam Rastam Rastam Chavita Vasanam Rajasuna Katasura Katasura. You say when it's a Rara Sunni verse, Krishna casts a silent glance, Rarai casts a silent glance to Krishna. His peacock feather flies off, his turban flies off, drops the flute, and his dhoti falls off. They faint. Good. So that's loving glances. Don't anybody look at me like that. Rod Yatra. So he looks at me like that, my dhoti falls off. I have a flute, I have a turban, I have a peak, I have a dhoti. Hey, that would be a little embarrassing. So they do the puja with their glances. Gopis are thinking, the female deer, I already said all that, I'll just take you. The male deer, the bucks, are encouraged to see their wives attracted to Krishna, and thus they become joyful about seeing how their wives are searching after Krishna. So following their wives, they urge their wives to run to Krishna. On the other hand, our husbands are jealous of Krishna. Because of their lack of devotion to Krishna, they can't even stand to smell the fragrance. What is the use of our lives? So they're saying the male deer are following the female deer to run to Krishna. They're encouraging, go, run fast. Our husbands don't even want to smell Krishna's fragrance. What is she encouraging us? Here's an example. The gopis are saying, the deer are more than us. Deer are better than us. Trees are better. The land is better. The deer are better. The sentient beings, the insentient beings. Then next verse, we're going to hear about devis. In other words, people, creatures on the earth, and creatures in the sky, heavenly creatures are more fortunate than the gopis. Let's see what this verse. Where are we now? Well, that was that page. 21. So, what do we get from this? What teaching do we get for our bhajan from this verse 11? Govinath.
The teaching is that everyone should you come both and go for the sleeping room around.
Srinarabhi.
And see everyone as look of love.
Yeah, that's a basic idea. See everyone with a look of love. Look of love. Gopal Chandra, you go so many mentions about this briefly. Sharadisham. How amazing. The doves gather with the bucks. And though of low intelligence, surpass you in their worship. Hearing the flute, they go towards Krishna, and stunned by Krishna's beauty, they worship him with the corner of their eyes with great love. But we are women by birth, are respected by the respectable. Our husbands live in Braj, which is famous for love of Krishna, but the devas are not like us. They can go with their husbands towards Krishna. We are so sinful, we cannot even be equal even to the does. That's pretty tough life to have. Husbands are better off than they are. Let's do verse 12. So we learn to try the does are seen with, if animals like deer can look at Krishna with love. Human beings are called the crown of creation. So we should be able to look at each other with affectionate glances, full of love. All the Priya Bhavata Tamrita teaches has some entry also. A comment on this verse also. The worship done by the deer, this is Nanda Goswami from part 3, chapter 7 of Brihadbhagavatamrita. The worship done by the deer is very simple, being performed with nothing more than loving glances. It doesn't take much to do Krishna Bhakti. You do Krishna Bhakti just with a glance. You don't need a lot of paraphernalia, I don't need any money, don't even need human birth. You can do it anyway. Just with a loving glance. Deer had no paraphernalia at their disposal for worship other than loving glances. Nothing would have satisfied Krishna. The deer's method of worship was exceptionally pleasing to Krishna. So we look at you, other people with loving glances, affectionate glances, Krishna will be very pleased. The deer saw Krishna decorated wonderful forest ornaments like flower garlands and peacock feathers and gunja berries in his hair. Even though the deer had taken birth as unintelligent animals, they were supremely fortunate. Just by hearing Krishna's flute, the deer lost their power to think clearly, and their internal and external senses all became stunned. This is the natural influence of Braj. Even living beings possessed of various skills are deprived of them by the reverberation of Krishna's flute and rendered dumb and immobile like inert beings. So you hear Krishna's flute, you become deaf and dumb. The dove naturally stay hidden deep within the forest, But the sound of Krishna's flute drew them out in the open, where he came near Krishna, beholding his beauty, and were bewildered by Cupid. They could think nothing of but Krishna. They simply gazed at Krishna in great love as if worshipping. Their husbands reacted the same way to the song of Krishna's flute. The doe and bucks are most exalted animals, endowed with such deep love for Krishna that they could never become proud of their good fortune. They always behave like innocent creatures. As the gopis meditate on the sale of the deer, they cannot help but think, these deer are very fortunate because they can worship Krishna along with their husband. But our foolish husbands cannot tolerate our worship of Krishna. Therefore, despite being born as human beings, we're most unfortunate. We cannot gaze at Krishna with wide open, love-filled eyes and serve him with pleasing glances. And even if a few of us can occasionally perform such service for him, our husbands will object. Wow, that's a nice scene here. The husbands of the deer are called Krishna's Sara because Krishna is the only thing important to them. Sara means essence. The essence of their existence is Krishna, so they're called Krishna's Sara. Constrained by the husband and wife relationship, sound familiar? Constrained by the husband and wife relationship, the gopis have to worship Krishna secretly as a paramour. This unique style of worship enables the gopis to achieve the extreme limit of success, highest degree of pure love for Krishna. Nice stuff. Highest degree of love for Krishna. So, just see how the deer are fortunate. Sometimes you go on Parikrama, a Vrindavan Parikrama, there's an ashram, Azra Jagannath Mandir, Azra Keshi God, Azra Jagannath Mandir. There's an ashram where they're keeping deer. Pet deer, there's spotted deer, golden deer, spotted ones. So next time you go on Parikrama, you can try to remember the deer, and this dear Leela, dear Leela, a dear Lita Krishna. So I think we'll continue there next week with verse number 12. Okay. Jai Shri Bhagavatam Apran Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Shyam Jai Radhe Shyam. Next week, number 12. Could we get some prasadam?
Yes.
To serve it downstairs.
Okay.
Everyone's going out. Is that? Is that?